Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
For 25 years, Seth Lightman has seen it all. From the newest electric car revolution, solar power, bike lanes made in NYC, and now we are here. More electric cars, need for more renewables and eco-friendly products in our world. Well, now it's time for an all-out podcast for this time. You're listening to The Green Living Guy Show. He's funny, real, exactly on point, and some think his style is so raw, it's crazy. Let's do this, folks. It's time for The Green Living Guy Show with Seth Lightman.
What's up, everybody? It's Green Living Guy. What's going on? It's a beautiful day going on here in almost May. My gosh, we've gone through my Super Bowl, which is Earth Month here, gone to various events. I'm going to another one next week, but today we're going to talk about something really important, which is about green businesses getting their act, or businesses getting their act together and becoming green businesses, or businesses that are green, certifying themselves, not just with one type of certification, but with one that I'm concerned about, which is the Green Business Bureau here. We got Tom Permateo, who's the head of the Green Business Bureau, that we have on the show today. So, Tom, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Seth. It's great to be here. And you're right. It is our Super Bowl, is it not?
It definitely is. It's like our Super Bowl month.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, it's funny. It really is. Yeah. So, look, I always start with, how did you start your green path? So I can only imagine that your story for the Green Business Bureau is long. So I'm going to let you tell me how you started getting green to start. Where did that start?
I get asked that question a lot, and it's actually I don't know if it's interesting. People can decide if it's interesting or not. But what's interesting for me is that the start of this was over 15 years, of almost 16 years now. And it actually started at a point in my career where I was looking at starting two different companies, one in the green space and one not. My children were 9 and 11 at the time. And I was just saying, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, or I think about doing that. And, at that time, there was a lot of talk about what was going on in the Arctic and polar bears and this and that. And, they said, Dad, do this because you can help save the polar bears. Now, I am not so grandiose to think that we were going to save the polar bears, but it was really more about making an impact and trying to do something that would make an impact. I've always been, an environmentalist at heart. It's always been important to me. And I think the thing that's interesting about it for me actually now is where the world is right now is that my children have grown up. And so when we start thinking about the economics of sustainability and green in businesses, that generation is now the generation that people are advertising to. They want to get them to be lifetime buyers of their products. They want
Oh, no
to,
question.
Exactly.
Yep.
They want to play those people. So I've seen this thing get baked in, Seth. And that's what's really, when I say it's interesting, it's demographically baked into the pie now, right? So to me, that's what I find most fascinating and most encouraging, actually, because after 2008, the financial collapse, the emphasis on sustainability became a little bit less for a while. But now people are seeing the impacts of what's happening, and there's an acceleration now to try to change things before things get worse. But also businesses are now realizing it's good for their business. It's good for their bottom line. It's good for their operations. It's good for their employment practices. Good for retention. And they're all writing ESG scores. It's become really important. that's rewarding. If it's not interesting, it's at least rewarding for people like you and I who have been in this for such a long time to see this change happening. You know, someone said, wow, you, how did you get, it's so cool that you're in this space right now. I'm like, yeah, I'm a 15-year overnight success.
Now, I hear that story all the time. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't, it's not a, an overnight success. It takes definitely time. So when did you, when you started the Green Business Bureau back in, I guess, 15 plus years ago, you were saying?
Yes, we started in 2007, but we, the Green Business Bureau started in 2007 as well. Ultimately, the paths that we took, both companies, came to a point where my company acquired the Green Business Bureau. You know,
right,
so there,
because I thought there was another organization doing that. I was looking back in my, you know, I try and keep copious notes on things. I was searching back into my blog circa 2007, 2008. Right. I was starting to see posts from the Green Business Bureau from some other guy. And I was like, I wanted to pose the questions. So, okay, so you acquired that.
Correct. And the gentleman you're probably talking about, there were two founders of the company, Marcos Cordero.
That's the one I know. Yeah, that's the one I heard of.
And the other gentleman was Frank Vega.
Didn't know Frank. Marcos was the one out in front, to be honest.
He definitely was the face of the company. He's an MIT certified engineer, Harvard business guy.
Great.
They founded the company, and again, much like us, the company I founded was a company called Is It Green? So we had we were originally founded as like a green TripAdvisor, a green Yelp at the time. But we both hit that headwinds of 2008. And so ultimately, when we kind of were in 2014 and 15, both companies were re-energizing and kind of attacking the marketplace. And we ultimately came into contact with each other. We realized it was a potential great relationship. And we decided to merge the companies. Marcos wanted to go off and do something else. The other founder, Frank Vega, who is, you know, a bit more behind the scenes to your point, but is very outward in the community, but not in the same way that Marcos was, remained on our advisory board, remained an investor in the company, and to this day is still an advisor to the Green Business.
Wonderful. That's wonderful. Great story.
And by the way, to finish it, Seth, we also got acquired a year ago by a new company entering the marketplace called Click. And now, so we're still the Green Business Bureau, but and they acquired us to help us continue to scale the way we were scaling and to continue to grow. And so we had an infusion of capital that helped us really accelerate the new development we wanted to do based on our growth of the product. So, yeah, it's been an interesting journey. And, you know, it's been an interesting year getting, you know, to work in a bigger and a different environment. Right. So, yeah, it's been great.
So let's talk about which is what is exciting to me. So when you started in 08 and then you started that merger process with Marcos and et al., how many businesses had you had certified or were certified back then? I'm trying to follow the trend line here.
Yeah, no. What was interesting was that at that point, from 2007 to about 2015, they had actually certified a little over 5,000 businesses globally.
Whoa.
Now, the platform was, you know, the original platform had some was getting a little long in the tooth, shall we say, right? You know,
from
a development perspective. And one of the reasons why we looked at the merger was we knew we had to refresh and we had to, take the platform and take all the great science that the MIT lead certified engineer put into it, but modernize the platform. We wanted to make it more than just the science behind it, you know, asking the questions, but they had some great algorithms about how you weighted things, and the bones in the foundation were awesome. And we realized that what we wanted to do was add to it. We wanted to add a user functionality to it. We wanted to continue to add new initiatives to it. But we also were very cognizant that we needed to be more than just a certification. We wanted to continue to build out more of a framework for people. But we also knew that we could be an information repository. And by that is, we provide so much information now. We've built a library of content that when you are a member, you have access to, you know, innumerable information. How do I write a mission statement? How do I, you know, what are the 10 steps I have to follow to do this? How, what if I'm a retailer? If I'm a this, I'm a that. How do I, you know, very, very educational as well. We realized that, you know, our philosophy was that we wanted to create something where people could essentially fish for themselves rather than have someone fish for them. Particularly in the small to medium-sized businesses. So we needed to create these ways where it was, people could come in, become a member, and about 65% of our members up until a year ago were coming in without us actually talking to them. And so we had to make sure that there was a clear path for them to be successful when they certified.
How did they find you? How did they find you if they came in? If they, this is, you know, that's the most logical question. Like, how did they find you if they're coming in?
This is the other half of the equation, which is we wanted to, revamp the marketing. And, you know, at that time, we brought in someone new to the company who I had worked with prior in a number of places, but we've known each other for 30 years now. And that gentleman came in and revamped the marketing to take us, because we knew we wanted to, this was one of the paths we wanted to go on. The other path was we were starting to also work with very large companies. So we had to take the product and say, SMBs, this is more important to them. Large companies, this is more important to them. So the product now it's almost like there are different versions of the product based on what kind of company you are and what needs you have. But on the marketing side, we knew if that was the type of customer that we were attracting, that we needed to build out a large library of content to help them. But also that content needed to be search engine optimized. And so if you look at us now, we've gone from, when we started that process, we were doing about 200 visitors to our site a month. Right now, again, we were taking an old product. We were refreshing the website. Today,
it's going to take a while. I'm not. I know the drill. Believe me, I know how long it takes. Yeah.
Oh no. Yeah. But today we have over 70,000 unique visitors a month. So we're tremendous.
Excellent.
And you know, we've done a lot of things to really, you know, to the tools that are available today that you can use for a company to grow. Are different from the tools that would have been available 15 years ago, right? How you can do these things. And the reality is, for any business, you need to be using tools like this, because if you think back, you know, when I was a younger man, or as Billy Joel might say, when I wore a younger man's clothes.
Yeah, right.
If you were a sales professional, you could go somewhere and find everybody's name in an organization and their phone numbers and their email address. And you would call them and you would call into the company, and or there might be a receptionist that you would have to establish a relationship with so that you ultimately could get to the person you wanted to get to. Now, nobody wants to get a phone call. There's, you know, if you dial into an office, it's rare. In fact, it's so rare, it's actually becoming valuable again because nobody does it anymore. So now that you're doing it, it's kind of strange. But the tools that are, because of that, the tools that are available that you can use today for any business, are so much better to use. You can, and it's really more about maximizing the dollars that you spend on that, maximizing when you write the content to make sure that you're doing it in a way that is going to put you in a position high on the page, all that stuff that people know.
Yes.
But tools to track that stuff now that didn't exist 15 years ago that can help you, right? But once you get momentum, it's amazing. You'd be surprised how many people call us that want to link to us now. You know, where, you know, 5 years ago, no one, you know, it was a different story, right?
Yeah, right. So then you're in 2015 or so, you do the merger, and you've got before pandemic. So merger to pre-pandemic, how was it for your company?
Yeah, it was really exciting, right? So that's when we started to, you know, we kind of specced out the revamp. We raised capital to do the revamp of the product.
That's great.
We're on a platform. And it was really interesting. So then we started this marketing campaign, started, you know, doing the Google AdWords again and this sort of thing and maximizing that. And in Q4 of, you know, whatever COVID started, 2020, I think now, who knows?
Yeah.
The Q4 of the 4 months before COVID, our year-over-year growth was 400%. Q1 up until the point where COVID hit was 600% growth year-over-year in terms of new business. And then COVID hit and the bottom fell out. And we knew that that was going to happen because our audience and what we do is at the time was we were helping businesses certify what they were doing in their business, in their offices, on their factory floors, in their distribution center. Well, now all of a sudden, no one was going to the office. No one was, you know, and people were unsure of their business. And just like 2008, you fast forward, people then are retrenching to say, what, where will I spend my money? You know, and what do I have to do? Why?
Like,
we weren't Zoom. We were the opposite of Zoom, right? So, you know, Zoom goes crazy. Companies like us who are, you know, inside the business, whether you're a sustainable business or not, you have this issue. But what we did, we knew that was coming. So we retrenched and we had a campaign that said we need to take care of our current customers. And so we launched a campaign saying, hey, look, we know that this year might be difficult for you. You know, we called it our own care package. And we would talk to our members and say, look, if this is going to be a tough year, let us know. We'll extend your membership 6 months. Talk 6 months from now. We knew that these people had put a lot of work into what they had done. We didn't want them to lose that because of things that were not in their control. And we were fortunately in a position where we could absorb that at the time for a period of time, realizing that our growth was going to be hurt, but that underlying building that loyalty and foundation, because if we're in the sustainability industry, we have to act in a certain way if we can. And luckily we were. Some of our competitors were not, because they were not as they had run their businesses maybe a little different, and it hurt them. And I feel bad about that because a lot of people are trying to do good things for people. But we were able to do that, and I think we built a lot of loyalty within our member base by being flexible. And, you know, even people when they couldn't publish or they couldn't pay, we'd say, well, let us help you. Let's publish a story about you so that people will see that you're still engaged in this and you're still active and you're still doing things. So we try to do a lot of things.
Which is so essential. It's so essential in tough times. To let people know that you're there for them, and that, you know, we appreciate your business to the point where we're going to do for you.
Yeah,
is a way to give back. You know, it's all about giving back, and to do it at times like that, they don't forget it, and then it creates that brand loyalty, brand recognition when you get out of that. I mean, inevitably there will be, the dust will settle and the light will come through. So you have to be like, well, what's it going to be like after that? And what did we have to do to get from point A to point B to be better once the dust settles and when the light comes back in, and we're now, you know, you can go to a doctor nowadays and you don't have to wear a mask to go to a doctor in New York,
right?
All that kind of stuff. So everything's back to, you know, somewhat, you know, that normalcy. That's great that you did that. And I assume that from that work that you retained most of your membership at that point.
We did very well. I mean, the members that we typically lost during that period, because some people, no matter what, think of all the businesses that went
out. Oh, you're going to fold. Oh,
And in that case, is people saying, you know, gee, Tom, we'd love to be a member, but we're not open anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to... I'm not chuckling at that. I'm just the irony of it.
Either you're going to laugh or you're going to cry. So I'll take the laugh at this point.
Because
it is sad that, you know, you have a pandemic like this. It hurt so many people. It affected so many lives. We learned the issues of not just health, but indoor air quality and air quality overall for people, and how important it is, to the point where, you know, the Biden and the Trump administration have invested now tax credits, is saying, hey, did you, or in New York at least, they do this thing where, hey, did you invest during the pandemic and improved air quality in your building? And if you did, we're going to give you a Benny for that, you know, that kind of stuff. So,
well, it's so important because, you know, when you, again, I'm no scientist, and I'm sad that this became a controversial issue, but that's in the types of societies we live in, you get healthy debate. But the, one of the things that was, were clear were, you know, like that, the way that any virus travels in a business, that there are ways that if you are ventilating correctly, the air quality, if you're doing the right things, there were so many studies that said, well, this is why this spread here faster than here. Why air, being on an airplane apparently was safer the way they recycle their air. Again, yes. The one thing I hope that came out of
They recycled it. And then what you do is what they finally started doing is they electrostatically, you destroy anything when you bring it back in to then go back out. So It's basically clean air constantly on a constant flow going out, and You're able to utilize that as a regular flow. So yeah, that those are electrostatic air filtering is and real air purification is not pie in the sky stuff, we've learned.
It's really not. And I think that overall there'll be some, you know, I think there'll be more positive lessons about things that you just talked about, the negative ones, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And, you know, I just think that, you know, I can remember being a young person working in a building and wonder why my eyes were always getting itchy, you know, things like that. Yes. Or getting ready to go outside and, you know, but it had to do with the air quality in the building, right? And it was an unknown. So now it's a known.
Yeah.
That. We can have healthier workspaces, and ultimately, when they're doing these things, become more efficient workspaces as well.
Cut down. Oh, absolutely! You're more productive if you have a better air quality. There's 100%. No question. Look, I'll tell this really quick story, and then we'll get into the back end of your thing. But sure. It just shows how important air quality and mold control and taking care of this stuff is. So, back in 1998-99, I was working with the EPA when I worked for NYSERDA, and we were going into schools, and we went into the Albany City School District, and kids were having to clean the, and they didn't know why.
Right.
They were cleaning a film off the desks on the first floor of the building, every classroom. They didn't know why. Then we go upstairs and we pull up a rug in one of those kindergarten classrooms, and it was nothing but black.
Yeah, no. Think about that for kids. It's like lead paint in a way. It's, you know,
different. It was mold. And for people that you know are listening to this, that's mold, folks. And so basically what was happening, folks, was the mold was so strong and effective that it was basically eating through the ceiling and dropping mold droplets onto the desks below. And that meant that the foundation overall was not sound, even on the second floor. Now, to tell the happy side of the story, Albany City School District, and that one in particular, is like LEED Gold, you know, so like, you know, high energy efficiency, high indoor air quality, the work, they did the works. And then, you know, the interesting side of it was we did another school in Syracuse, and based on that program, they came up with the green EPA Green Schools Building program.
Yeah.
So, you know, we realized that mold and indoor air quality is just as important, folks, as, you know, the lights, the power running, you know, a bus getting you there and all that kind of stuff, and the teachers showing up. Well, they also have to be able to breathe and effectively be as productive as possible. So imagine being, you know, what we're talking about, what Tom and I are talking about here is, imagine being a room that's so polluted that you can't work and you have to do it now for 8.5 hours.
Yeah.
You try.
Yeah. You know, and it's like, as if I'm a director, now, action, try that for 8 hours. You're not going to do it, folks. It's not going to work. So that's why green buildings is not just energy efficiency or renewable energy or, you know, better windows and stuff like that. It's also about the quality of the products that we're breathing, and also checking to make sure that things like mold are not accumulating. I mean,
absolutely. You know, I've heard, you know, it is, you're right, Seth, it's important. And I think, again, it's, we learn from these things.
Yeah, we learn from these things. But it's great now that at least we've come to a place that it's not just dealing with, you know, like what happens now regularly is the EPA's fighting, you know, mold and lead paint and things like that. But COVID has really taught us about air quality. And from that, we're constantly trying to improve the air that we breathe. Look, you know, and another really interesting story of how much work we have to do. And, you know, I'm this electric car guy. So I'm test driving this Volvo C40 Recharge last week, and they have this thing in there called a clean air meter. So basically what it does is it measures the air quality of the cabin. And I opened the window, literally idling next to I'm not idling, but I'm sitting next to a typical landscaping truck in any suburbia America. And I opened the window, and the air quality went to 500 parts per million, basically. You know, I had to open both windows and, you know, clean the air cabin out. But we have a long way to go, folks. You know, we think that there's these electric cars out there and hybrids and they're doing everything. But when you get one of these trucks, you'd be surprised what it can do to the quality of the air of everyone around them. I mean, you know, it's like watching somebody who's has a rolled down window passing by a semi blazing nothing but soot. It's like, don't do it. It's like you're walking into the fold. No, you know, but it's a reality of these things that we need to be cognizant of, and why emissions is important.
Of course.
Because it doesn't then just affect, you know, the air outside, but it affects the air quality we breathe, and it can affect the air quality in your cabin of your car.
Yep.
And if you're close to a highway, folks, it can affect the air quality of your home.
Yeah.
So everything that Tom and I are talking about is what business needs to do and what business should be doing. So circling back to pandemic times, you held your own, you kept those that needed to, that didn't fold. Thank God, you know, some didn't fold and everything like that. Yep. So we're now going into out of pandemic into now. How are things looking for the green?
Things look great. They look great for a couple of reasons. One, you know, the investments we started to make on the internal product, again, because it's like, okay, we can spend on marketing or we can retrench and look at the product, build up that library of content, began to pay dividends almost immediately. And we set the foundation for a bunch of things within the product that we've rolled out literally over the last 8 or 9 months. Right. So I'll start, with that part of it, which is starting in September, we rolled out version 1.5 of the new platform, because when we updated it, we called it 1.0. We kept all the good science rebranded. But 1.5, we actually put in our first social responsibility initiatives into the platform. So because everything is talking more about environmental, but social and governance are important. So we rolled out that. And by the way, one of the other things we did during the pandemic, which also set the tone, is we established a member advisory council, and we have customers from all different walks of life. So we have subsidiaries of a company called Premier Foods in Canada, which is a $4.5 billion value call. They got 70 brands underneath their umbrella. Martin Ray International, large auto manufacturer, Fjall Ravn, which is a retail store, backpacks, part of a company called the Phoenix Group. They got 50 locations that they open up in the U.S. and they rolled this out in the United States. Christie Sports. I can go on and on. I get a whole bunch, so I feel bad I might miss some and not mention some, but we really value both the large and small.
We love all the businesses part of the Green Business Bureau, folks. We don't think we don't.
We do, and it's so much value from our quarterly meetings and working with our customers. So when we started to build out the social media, social responsibility, we got a lot of the ideas from them. And then in January, we did a launch where we started to update all our different industry initiative packs and create new ones. So we rolled out a data center initiative pack. And then we also did 60 work from home initiatives because of COVID,
right?
Things changed. And even now, some businesses are doing half and half. Some businesses are still more work from home. So we listened and responded, and we just did a release 2 weeks ago where we now have launched a bunch of governance initiatives. So from the product perspective, we actually have more initiatives around the E environments, the S social, and the G governance than even B Corp does. And not to plug the product, but we don't just say you have to do this. All, as you know, as a member, all of our initiatives have plans and information guided. They guide you to complete the initiative. They tell you how to do it.
Right.
We were able to build that in. So on the product, we've been able to really roll out a bunch of this stuff. And I'm really excited about what the next release is going to be. And I can't talk too much about that.
Don't tell me anything.
On the other side.
We'll get you back because I need you back on the next rollout, my friend. I need you on another interview, next rollout.
And happy to do it. But on the other side of the equation, all that SEO stuff, all the platform and all the information we built out, you know, we started to see as soon as the pandemic started to slow, and it actually picked up even before it totally slowed, but we started to get back to normal. And we actually finished the year of COVID, the first year, flat with what we did the year before. So we had a couple of months and then it started to pick up again. But we, Q4 of last year, we had doubled our number from the previous year, right? So we've had great sales momentum as well. But the other real big difference is because of what we've done, because we have now these large customers have come to us and the world has changed.
Yeah.
We have now built out a whole bunch of functionality for, you know, for companies like Martin Ray International or Bernard or Christie Sports or, you know, you name some of the you know, Nissin Foods, some of the really, really large companies that we have. So because of that, we have a lot of multi-site customers that demand multi-site reporting that want it so they can judge one site versus another site. And these companies are using GBB to actually run a large part of their business, which for us is really, really.
That's very exciting. That sounds very exciting. That's great because that helps them with their ESG and helps them with their reporting and helps them with their requirements as ESG requirements become or are becoming part of the normal culture here. So it's very exciting. That's very exciting. So where are you now with how many businesses you have today? Do you know the Jerry Lewis tote?
Yeah, no. So what I will tell you is in the last 5 years or so, we have certified over another 5,000 customers, right?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it is. Now, I have to be clear. Not every customer, once they've gone through the certification process, not everybody stays for 10 years as a member. You know, they may get acquired, they may go out of business, but they also may be, hey, we've already done this, you know, so therefore, we may not be stay a member for a while, but we actually have had a bunch of members come back because of all the new marketing things we're doing for them as well, and how we help them promote the things that they do, because that's the third part. We like to have, we talk about the fact that we give people the ability to assess where they are initially with an online platform. Then we give them the library and the Echo Planner for them to have the framework to choose how they want to roll this out in their business. And some businesses like CyberArk They had, you know, 10, 20 people initially on a program. They, you know, they rolled it out rapidly, and they started with initiatives that were easy, where other companies may only have one or two people doing it, and they choose to do the things that have the most impact first. But they may be slower in getting to platinum or gold, but they're doing, you know, things that are impactful. We give them the ability to choose the way they want to go. But the third part of that is really, how do we help them transparently promote the things that they do? And when you become a member and you decide you're ready to share your accomplishments, we have a seal that when people click on it on your website, they see a scorecard. This is where I've done things. This is the level I've reached. How many points do I have to get there? But then it lists every single initiative that they say that they have completed and accomplished. And anybody who's gold or platinum ultimately has to be audited by us to do that, to claim it. So the promotion is so important, right?
Yeah, promotion is essential. So we will have this podcast on to promote the Green Business Bureau on for life. So this is something that will help the organization grow and to, shall we say, to another 5,000
yeah.
or 10,000 more. You know, hey, you got 10,000, so to another 10,000 more, you know, really. So
that is the goal. I'd like to do that in the next month, but I have to be...
Yeah, I know those metrics. Yeah, those metrics. Yeah. Well, I know that. How do people find out about you? Let's start with the basics so that people listening can do what they got to do. Right.
www.greenbusinessbureau.com. Right. That's okay. The and if you just search Green Business Bureau, you will find us. And once you do that, that's the easiest way to get to us. You know, you'll. I think going to the website, you'll see everything you need to know about us. And there's a lot there. That is the best way. Obviously, anybody wants to reach me at tom@greenbusinessbureau.com. I'm happy to talk to them and you know, in the organization, take the call, but then point them in a direction where they can get the most help from people within the organization.
That's it. So just for full disclosure purposes, everybody, I am a member now of the Green Business Bureau, and I've certified, and I will be doing an announcement press release soon to announce my results to everybody. I'm very excited about it, but I wanted at least to interview Tom Permateo first to talk about his story, his green journey. All of us guys have our own green journey here, and we like focusing not just on, you know, on guys, but women. But, you know, I love talking to the green guys to see how they built their businesses and built it up.
Yeah.
And it's really important to see how people also can learn from you, because what you did and what your growth is something that people will be hearing about and listening to on this platform for life. So it's exciting.
Yeah, no, I appreciated the opportunity to speak with you and, you know, this platform, so to speak, and is a great way to reach folks. I do have to say, just, you know, from a local perspective, and I know you're not just local, but you are Chester County, and you're obviously.
Oh, I'm a proud Westchester County guy. I've been most of my life in this county.
100%. And you also know that we've opened up an office in your area with Maria Genovese.
And
people can reach Maria as well if from
that's
the area.
Correct. That's correct.
Yes. Maria@greenbusinessbureau.com. And, you know, thank you. I can say just for I can't believe anybody ever wants me on anything to speak, but
I appreciate it. Well, listen, guys, I got to tell you, you know, he does have an extensive platform. It does ask you the right questions. The social and governance thing, I was surprised. And it actually helped me to learn a little about what I need to do as well. So I'm grateful. You know, they always say if you're the smartest one in the room, then you're in the wrong room. So I always love to learn from people, and I love to learn how to grow as a business. And I think that the Green Business Bureau is there for people and for businesses that are wanting to grow, as well as small to medium, as well as large companies, to green their act. You know, get their act together, green their act together. So you're helping, not as you know, you've talked about these big companies here. That's a massive shift. We'll have to, the next time we have a podcast, I'd really love to get into the weeds about it, about what kind of work that people did and what kind of energy savings or emission savings or any of that kind of stuff.
Love to talk about that.
So when you have your next version, we'll talk about that in the conversation, because that sounds like a, if you've done 10,000 businesses overall and you've made this kind of change, you know, that's a lot of, you know, and businesses and industry is a significant part of our emissions cleanup that we have to do as a world. So this is very exciting. So as I like to wrap up with everybody, folks, Green Living Guy, I always say one small step at a time, small step at a time. But today's small step is the Green Business Bureau is here to help you. It is here to help you if you're a small business, if you're a startup, if you're a mid, and if you're a large business, to green your act together. Tom Permateo's software and platform is there to help you. His content is there to guide you. And Tom is there to steer you in the right direction and make sure that your ship is oared in the right way. And he's got a group that knows what they're doing and is expanding their presence, not just in, you know, some parts of the country, but in all parts of the country. And we really encourage you to be a part of this great organization, because they're changing industry, which is then changing the air quality, which is then affecting how we live and breathe and how our life is, our environment is.
Thanks for the kind words, Seth.
Peace out. Yeah. And we got a lot of work to do, folks. You got to sign up. We need more than 10,000 businesses. So hopefully we'll have a better story coming. Not that we don't have a great story here, folks, but we always love having a great story going forward. And Tom's is a great one. His rollout of his new software is going to be great. So, again, today's small step, Green Business Bureau. And go to greenbusinessbureau.com. Ask for Tom. Sign up. Pay the membership fee. Don't be shy. And let's do this together, folks, because that's how it gets done. Thank you, and we'll see you next round. All right.
You've been listening to the Green Living Guy Show with your host, Seth Lightman. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.